We're really excited about these results out of Merkur. Recall, we're underway with three drill rigs at our Merkur project in Utah, drilling about 40,000 feet on the program this year. We're approximately 60% through that program. The team is working diligently to right through into the start of the winter here to get as much of that drilling accomplished as we can. All the more reason why I think it's exceptionally exciting for the state of Idaho, for the United States generally, to see Agnico Eagle now landing in the state of Idaho, first big gold investment in the U.S., about almost $200 million investment into Perpetua. This is fantastic to see, but it's only about one-tenth of the EBITDA that Agnico delivered in the third quarter. And so it's incredible to see how much money these gold companies are making. And I think we're gonna see more capital deployed for growth because they simply do not have the projects in their pipelines to maintain their rates of production and enjoy these gold prices.
Hugh Agro, Revival Gold, good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
Oh, great to be with you, Andy.
The pleasure is all mine. You guys have had some great news and some great things happening in Revival Gold. Let's get into it. I got an email from you that just became public, but as it became public, let's talk about that, what you got going on, your results, what you got going on in the Merkur project.
Yeah, look, we like to share our news as it's coming out here with folks like you, Andy, and so I'm glad you've picked up on that. Another 16 holes out of our Merkur Gold project in Utah. This is in the Heap Leach project there, all shallow drill holes, right on line with what we're hoping to see there in the order of 0.5 to 1 gram gold in these intercepts. We got a 3 gram intercept. We're getting great indications of recoveries from the cyanide soluble assays that are going with those drill holes. Really, really positive outcome here from the program thus far this year.
Okay, excellent. So you said a couple of things just right there, heat bleach and assays, more assays coming out. So walk me through that. What news should I be expecting? And for all our soon-to-be potential investors and investors that you have right now, let me interrupt and say this also to all my viewers and listeners. I have skin in the game in this, full disclosure. I am an investor. I'm a happy investor. I've already made money on Revival Gold. This is not investment advice. Please do your own due diligence. Go ahead, Hugh.
Yeah, I'm long as well. big long in the company. I think we've just hit the ball out of the park here in terms of putting these two gold assets together, both in the Western United States, 6 million ounces of resource. Think about that. That's 22 ounces of gold for every 1,000 shares held. And the gold price just continues to show strength on strength. We're getting some volatility in the metal, but we're still up near $4,000 an ounce. And that's fantastic relative to the economics that Revival Gold has done at about $2,175 an ounce. So you can see there's lots of upside there. But look, we're really excited about these results out of Merkur. Recall, we're underway with three drill rigs at our Merkur project in Utah, drilling about 40,000 feet on the program this year. We're approximately 60% through that program. The team is working diligently to right through into the start of the winter here to get as much of that drilling accomplished as we can. We've released holes now, a total of 26. We'll probably drill about 100, 120 holes on the project. These are all relatively shallow drill holes. We're talking 300 feet, 400 feet deep typically. But what we are seeing is a continuation of alteration in the bottom of these some of these holes. And we're drilling deeper to be able to pick up some of that mineralization. And we may see the pit shells increase as a result of picking up additional mineralization here at depth. And then also on the fringes of the resource. Most of our drilling focused on infill to convert to a higher category of resource, but we are seeing potential for extensions beyond the existing pit shell and mineral resource from our preliminary economic assessment. So really excited about these results. Oxide mineralization, really good for open pit heap leach, an efficient way to turn gold in the ground into cash and dividends.
Okay, so if I can work a little bit about that, why is it important that this is heat bleach? And I know the answer, but I want you to answer that question. And well, I'll say this to all my viewers and listeners. There's really, correct me if I'm wrong, Hugh, there's two ways, there might be more, but there's two ways that I know of processing gold. It's heat bleach or it's through a mill. If you're heat bleaching, you don't need a mill. Is that correct?
That's right. And so it's much more capital efficient. In the United States, we're really good at doing open pit heap leach mining. It's a proven technique. It's one that a lot of operators understand. And in our case, it's something that has already been done on the site before. So, you know, I want to emphasize that about Revival Gold. We are pursuing projects where gold has been successfully mined before and mined through open pit heap leach before. So this is nothing new for the site. This is nothing new, certainly for U.S. mining industry. And it's a very safe, responsible way to go about extracting gold from the rock. And so that translates into low capital and low risk. And in our case, at Merkur, you'll know from our PEA study, which is on our website for those interested, the capital is about $210 million to get in the order of 100,000 ounce a year of gold production from this site.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you said capital. I want to say this correct. I'll say this to all my viewers and listeners. Heat bleaching is not as expensive as having a mill. And there's a lot of things, there's advantages to having a mill, but the biggest disadvantage is the cost, because you're looking at $300-400 million, correct, to get a mill. Is that correct, Hugh?
Well, yeah, broadly, you're correct. It really depends on a lot of different factors. Mm-hmm. And the big difference is that typically we'll see mill recoveries running, you know, close to 80-90%. Mm-hmm. And a heap leach recoveries, you know, typically in the range of 65-80%. So lower recoveries, but also lower capital costs.
Yeah, got it. Now, this is a question I get asked all of the time here, and this is a question that I also like to ask. Why are you continually drilling as opposed to going straight into production? What is the thought process on that? And again, I have my own reasoning, but I want you to answer that question.
Yeah, and you know this, Andy, very, very, very well. There's stages to the development of a gold project. And first, we have to have an inkling in the geologist's eye that there's some mineralization, but that's just an inkling. So then we put some drill holes into the ground and we say, okay, this is starting to look like a gold deposit. But to turn a gold deposit into a mine, we need to know a lot more about what's going on in the ground. We need to know where the gold is. We need to know the recoveries. We need to know the geotechnical factors so that when we build a pit, it doesn't cave in on us. We need to know a lot about how we're going to deal with the rock that comes out of that pit that is not ore, not the material that we put through processing, and where we put it. We need to know a lot about the outlying area to make sure we're doing it responsibly and we're not impacting air, water, or any wildlife. And so all of that information takes, additional data gathering to collect. And typically that process can take, anywhere from a couple to 2 to 5 years, 6 years, some cases. And of course, while we're doing that, we're also working through the permitting, which is a formal process to be able to get approval to construct the mine. Now, in our case, we're very fortunate. We're on private land with our project, which means we work through the state process with the state of Utah, and that's a relatively straightforward, unencumbered process. The federal government is much more cumbersome, so that's a positive for us. Secondly, we're on in an area that's dry, so we don't have water to worry about. We've got enough water for the mine, but not so much water, either atmospheric or ground, that we have to worry about environmental impacts. And of course, in the Western United States, water is very, very important because it's scarce. So that's a very, that's a big positive for us. Lastly, thirdly, I'll go back to that earlier point I made. We're in an area where a mine has been successfully operated before, which means we've got a lot of technical data. We've got a lot of support from the local community, and we've got a lot of understanding about how the site operates and can be operated efficiently.
Yeah, and from experience on that, I love aggression going in production. But that being said, you have to have everything lined up. And the reason is that you've been doing this a lot longer than I have, and I've been doing this a long time, but you have a lot more experience in that. The world is, and the industry is littered with mining companies that have gone too quickly into production, correct?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought us back to that point. There are steps that one must take to be able to do things effectively, right? So,
right.
Our engineering team is led by a gentleman by the name of John Meyer. This is a guy who's done it multiple times successfully before, and we'll take John's guidance on, you know, the steps and making sure we get properly through those steps. Our technical committee on the board is led by a gentleman by the name of Larry Radford. Larry's operated large and small open pit and underground mines around the world successfully. So again, we have that kind of leadership, and we're going to take the right steps to make sure, you know, we'll move as quickly as we can, but without taking shortcuts so that we get in trouble later, you know, avoid any troubles later.
Yeah, and about aggression, though, that all being said, taking the necessary appropriate steps, I love the aggression. You got three rigs going right now at Merkur, correct?
Yeah, we're pushing it.
I love it.
I could tell you the geologists are sweating, putting in long shifts, and really doing excellent work. We're blessed. We've got some great people working with us. They're energized. They're enthusiastic about what they're seeing, and you know, there's a little dose of entrepreneurship in every one of us, and very excited to see that in the team. So, working as quickly as we can, as efficiently as we can. And it's a big program we're underway with right now. And that's just the first project.
Right. Well, let's talk about the second project here, Bear yeah. Track here. Tell me about that. And what do you, which is equally, I don't want to say equally, but it's a great asset. So tell me about that.
Yeah. Bear Track Arnett, 4.6 million ounces of gold in this project in Idaho, a great mining state. I was just out at the Idaho Mining Conference.
Let me interrupt you. This is your second project with 4.6 million ounces of gold, correct?
That's correct.
So that's your second project. To all my viewers and listeners, just read between the lines on that. That's music to my ears. Go ahead, you.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just saying that I was in Boise, Idaho for the Idaho Mining Conference. 1,200 people in attendance, up 30% from last year. A lot of enthusiasm. I'm sure we'll talk about what's going on in Idaho in a moment. But just on Bear Track Arnett, this is an amazing project. We've got three and a half miles of mineralized trend on this project. Although Merkur in Utah is our priority because it'll move more quickly to production, Bear Track Arnett's got amazing exploration potential. It's an orogenic gold system. We have tracked the structure for another mile and a half, 2 miles south of what we've already discovered. So think about that, Andy. We've got three and a half miles of mineralized strike where we've hit with every drill hole. And then we've got another, mile and a half, 2 miles to the south of that with all the indications of structure and virtually no drill holes to speak of. So we're really excited about the exploration on this project. This is the gold market to be going out and taking some big bets here. And that's what we're doing on this project. Talk about being aggressive. Our chief geologist is currently got a rig going there. I was out there just earlier to have a look at that with some of our directors. We're making great progress there with that rig kicked off about a week and a half ago. And we've stepped out, I'm going to say about a mile. So we're really taking a big bet there and seeing what we can come up with. And we'll also drill a little bit closer to where we've got the mineralized structure already identified and step out from there. So some really exciting drilling coming over the next 3-4 months at the Bear Track Arnett project in Idaho, Sharkey Target, Joss Target, and big exploration bets.
Oh, okay. So let's talk about you were in Idaho. A couple of things about that. It's very interesting to me. I'm on the record, and I've took a lot of money off the table, probably the last, when I say a lot, probably half my portfolio in the last 2 months. I have redeployed or started to redeploy cash in this latest pullback here just because I see value here. But re what really got me, two things, and the reason I did that was just because I saw a lot of euphoria. That being said, I'm questioning that, not that I took money off the table, but I think this euphoria is actually what we've been waiting for, and this is good. And it's getting a lot of interest in retail investors, which is who I'm talking to right now. What was the feeling in Idaho? How do you deal with this, like this new euphoria? It seems like we all have been scarred, if you would, and even just very insecure about all this optimism, if you would. How do you deal with that? And what was the feeling in Idaho?
Well, the feeling in Idaho is one of anticipation, right? This state has worked really hard to develop up a gold, generally mining industry, right? So lots of mineral potential, not a lot of investment up until the last, I would say, 5 to 10 years, kicked off by Perpetua and a gentleman by the name of Steve Quinn, and great work there. But kicked off this new vanguard of explorer developers, including Revival Gold. We came in right after Perpetua. Of course, Perpetua is now a $2.5 billion company, and that's created a lot of enthusiasm around the jobs that will come from that as they work towards developing the Stibnite project, which is meant to start in the next few months here. So very positive for the state. A lot of anticipation about the jobs and the economic activity will come from that. But let's step back to what's happening in the gold sector for just a second. I mean, there is a ton of money being made by the senior gold producers. And the interesting thing is that the euphoria that you speak of has not landed with the boards and the management teams of these major companies. We're not seeing the kind of overinvestment, the exuberance that we saw in the past cycle. I was in that past cycle. I can tell you it's different this time. Yeah, famous last words. But what I can tell you is that the senior gold companies, the intermediate gold companies, are generating a ton of free cash flow, and their balance sheets are in great shape, and they're still being very careful about their investment decisions. All the more reason why I think it's exceptionally exciting for the state of Idaho, for the United States generally, to see Agnico Eagle now landing in the state of Idaho, first big gold investment in the U.S., about almost $200 million investment into Perpetua. This is fantastic to see, but it's only about 1/10 of the EBITDA that Agnico delivered in the third quarter. And so it's incredible to see how much money these gold companies are making, and I think we're going to see more capital deployed for growth because they simply do not have the projects in their pipelines to maintain their rates of production and enjoy these gold prices. So a few things in that. First of all, sector's in really good shape and not overspending. So I think investors can take some confidence in that. Secondly, there is a dearth of good gold projects in good locations. We're seeing what's going on in Mali and other parts of the world. And I'll tell you, it's nice to be in the United States and Canada, a good places for mining gold. Thirdly, I would say in Idaho, we've seen Agnico land, and that's going to be very big for the state. It's a vote of confidence in what the state government has done, what the U.S. government is doing generally, and it's a vote of confidence in the developers that are doing great work in that state. Because of course, Agnico Eagle does not land in a location just for one project. They build a camp. And they look for other opportunities to build out efficiency in what they're doing. So this is a really huge development. It's a perfect time for Revival Gold to be expanding on our exploration on already a very large 4.6 million ounce deposit in the state. We think there's a ton to come from that. And that, you know, as we were saying earlier, is our second project. So lots of irons in the fire with Revival Pool for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to chat to you about that, and I'll just let me talk to all my viewers and listeners. So I said, and I've been on the record over the past couple of months, that I've sold half of my positions. One of those positions that I have not sold is Revival Gold. I have held on just because I love the project, love the company. I am not objective, just so everybody knows. And they've also do sponsor the site. Okay. So just full disclosure and everything. I also reserve the right, and more than likely will be adding to my positions here in Revival Gold, just so everybody knows, full disclosure. And I will not do that until after, if I do that, I will not do that until after this interview drops. I just want to make sure everything is always on the up and up. Hugh, what you just said about Agnico coming into, or has landed, if you would, in Idaho, or really here in the U.S. is, you know, it's not only music to my ears, and I also say this, and again, what do I know? But it's like I'm thinking about time. And I was confused. I was talking to our friend Rick Rule, and I will name drop that. I'm actually talking to him in a couple of hours. I was confused why there hasn't been more mergers and acquisitions. And I paraphrase it, just that's going to come, that's happening. And this is very typical in the beginnings of a bull market here, with you see the majors move first, and then you see merger and acquisition activity, and it filters down through developers and explorers. So to all my viewers and listeners, this is huge news that Agnico, or the likes of Agnico, are looking at and starting to acquire projects. And this is great news for the likes of Revival Gold. So just really pay attention to that. Hugh, talk a little bit about what news do you have that you can talk about that would be coming out through now, really until the end of the year or into the next quarter.
Well, four drill rigs turning, Andy.
So you're going to have a lot of news.
We're going to have a lot of drill results out. I mentioned we're about 60% through the program at Merkur, but we've only released 26 holes. So we've got a lot more coming out, another, you know, plus or minus 80 to 100 holes to come out of Merkur. And then, of course, the drilling at Bear Track Arnett that we were just speaking about, and the big exploration bets we're taking there. Another 10,000 feet of drilling in that location. So a lot of drill results to come. We've got some metallurgical test work coming up in the first quarter next year. We are working on the formal launch of permitting and all of the setup for that on our Merkur project. We'll have more news on that next year. We are working towards a PFS on our Merkur project out next year. And look, I think there's a lot of corporate activity going on right now. And I think we're thick of it. I'd say we've got some great sponsorship with EMR Capital, with Dundee Resources, both in our stock. But there's a lot of interest in what we're doing. We talked about Agnico Eagle, but you've also got SSR now with the CCAV mine in the U.S. and making great strides. Centerra making great strides. Kinross, a longtime operator mm-hmm. in the U.S. And I think there's a lot of other folks who are looking at the U.S. as a good place to be. We certainly encourage that. And vis-a-vis what else is going on in the world, I just think it's something that's going to continue to build on itself.
Yeah, if I can, Hugh, let me just talk to all my viewers and listeners here. Not only are these great results, and you're going to get a drip, and this is why I'm invested in Revival Gold, not only going to drip, I would say a good flow, not a drip, a flow of news really throughout. I'd see that taken into next year. I love the aggression. But this news about Agnico, again, you got to really read between the lines. This is really, really big news in my book. When I'm evaluating, there's a lot that goes into evaluating a company, a stock. And one of those big things is, what are the big players? And I ask this question all the time when I'm talking to CEOs of mining companies, which is really several times a week as I'm talking to them. Who's around you? How can you get acquired? That sort of thing. This is not to imply that Revival Gold is going to get acquired. This is not to imply that Revival Gold can't or won't take this to a mine, which I believe they absolutely can and will, of all things considered. But it's also, it's a great, it's like your ace in the hole when the big players, the Agnico Eagles of the world, are around you, if you would, because then Revival Gold or the likes of Revival Gold, the companies like that are being evaluated to be added to their portfolio.
Well, if I can, Andy, it's a
Please.
validation, right?
Yeah.
It's a validation of the forward momentum in permitting, the forward momentum in availability of good projects, and the relative risk reward opportunities in the US. So I think it's a validation for investors. They can look at that and they can say, look, these are some really smart guys. They can deploy their capital anywhere in the world, and they're choosing to put it into the West United States. That's a big deal.
That's a big deal. And in fact, as good as everything that I've read, and happy as I am as an investor, that's probably the best news I've heard, or the biggest news I've heard, really in this talking with you, but also really in the past couple of weeks. It's really, really big news. So all of my viewers and listeners, really take note of that. That's probably the best thing that Hugh has said in regards to all of this great news. Hugh, before I ask you about your ticker symbols and your website, tell me a little bit about your background. And I already know that, but I think that couldn't brag about yourself because you're really betting on it. One of the things you're betting on is the jockey. If you have the resource, I believe resource comes first, but the second best thing is really the leadership and experience you have on the team. So tell me about that.
Well, rightly or wrongly, Andy, I've been in this business for almost 35 years.
You poor
Mining
soul.
engineer,
I'm teasing.
my mining engineer by training. We have our ups and downs in the mining business. It is a cyclical business. We've just gone through a down part of that cycle, and I think what's great about that for investors is the companies that survive through that can thrive in an upward cycle. And I think that's where we are, that's where we're going. Again, mining engineer by training, but look, more important than that for investors, I've been part of creating a lot of value for investors in the last cycle with Kinross Gold as part of the team there that took that company from 1.7 billion to 17 billion. We're back with a lot of my former colleagues from Kinross doing that again here at Revival Gold. I mentioned Larry Radford, head of our technical committee. Tim Warman is the non-exec chair of the board. Wayne Hubert, another great success in the mining business, took a $100 million company and sold it to Goldcorp in the last cycle for $3 billion. He's back with us on our board. On the engineering team at Revival Gold, we've got John Meyer, has had a ton of success building the plans out for Fruta del Norte in Ecuador, which is now underpinning a $22 billion company in Lundin Gold, and then with Perpetua being part of the design work and all of the permitting work around that project over a 10-year period, now a $2.5 billion company. So John's come over to us to help transform Revival Gold. And remember, we're a 200 Canadian million dollar market cap company today, trading at 0.18 times NAV. And that's just for the 2.5 million ounces of gold that's in our NAV, that's in engineering studies. We've got another 3.5 million ounces of gold beyond that for a total of 6 million ounces of gold and a ton of exploration potential beyond that. This is absolutely the market you want to be in for an asset class like ours. And as we were talking about earlier offline, Andy, if you look at the sector generally, what we've got is explorer developers trading right now at about 0.2 to 0.4 times NAV, so price to underlying net asset value, and then the seniors and the intermediates trading at several times more than that, so 0.8 times NAV to 1.2 times NAV. So that is the that's the value re-rate potential in a stock like Revival Gold. You can see that in some of the analyst reports that have come out on the company and some of the other commentators that folks would know about on the street. So look, I think it's a great time to be involved in the sector, great time to be in Revival Gold. And super happy to be able to tell our story with you today.
Yeah, excellent. Real quick here, are you going to be in New Orleans?
Unfortunately, we're going to miss New Orleans and Brian London's fantastic show there. this year. But as you know, we'll be soon down to Atlanta to visit yeah. with your hometown crowd.
Yeah, well, I wanted to make that announcement. I wanted to say, if you are in New Orleans, say hi to Hugh, but he's not going to be there. And I won't be there as well. I have a scheduling conflict. That being said, to all my viewers and listeners here in Atlanta, and there's many of you here, we are bringing, well, Hugh's coming down to Atlanta in December. Please reach out to myself. You have my email. If you don't, well, you can find it. Or reach out to Roger. You know who he is. And get in on that luncheon and dinner. We'll be spending a lot of time with Hugh here in Atlanta. The first, December 9th. I don't know if that's the first or second week of December. So looking forward to that, Hugh. Hugh, people want to buy you, trade you, and find out more information about you. How do they do that?
Well, information is on our website at www.revival-gold.com. Or please give me a call. Love to hear from folks, 416-366-4100. And our symbol on the OTCQX market is RVLGF. And on the Venture Exchange in Canada, it's RVG.
Excellent. I'll put all of that in the show notes. Again, I am not objective. This is not investment advice. I am an investor. I will I reserve the right and will highly, more than likely, be buying more shares in the open market, just like all of you. Hugh, want to thank you so much for your time. I really look forward to having you on again. And if I don't see you before you get to Atlanta, and I hope I do, but I look forward to seeing you in Atlanta and spending some time with you.
Thanks so much for having me, Andy. Thanks all for listening.
Yep, you bet. Thanks, Hugh.